Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Couch and Couch Show. We're gonna just jump right into it, and we're gonna start things off by discussing the Inter versus Roma match. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a roller coaster of a game. Obviously, you had come off that tough loss against Udinese. We underwent penalty gate in Rome prior to the international break, and like we discussed before, Roma. I thought Roma was going to come out angry, and Inter obviously with a lot of pressure rising on the seat that Simone Inzaghi sit in. There was a lot of back and forth in terms of the expectation, what we're going to see, and then the big talking points before were Mourinho having to watch, which immediately kind of sways it into Inter's favor. And Inter start really well, to be fair to them. They get after it in the early parts of the game, even though Roma's doing a little bit with Dybala and Zaniolo doing some stuff. Trying to get the pressure back on the Inter. Obviously, Roma hadn't beaten Inter in Milan since 2017 or around there. Despite what you think about whether or not the San Siro is a place to be feared anymore, or whether this Inter team really has the killer instinct that they had under Conte. It was not an easy environment to go in, regardless, especially without Mourinho on the bench. And then, so anyway, so Roma, it's not that they started poorly, but it was an Inter's favor. Inter had the majority of the chances. Roma did a good job of keeping them at distance at first, but then obviously, unfortunately for Roma, DeMarco goes through. After Lautaro's disallowed goal at the beginning. So a lot of pressure was going, and Inter were playing well at the beginning, and then DeMarco goes through, strikes the ball as slow as a human being could possibly hit it, and Rui Patricio just makes a rare mistake, getting his fingertips on it, but basically rolling the ball into his own net. It was a very, very weak attempted save, and Inter are in front, and the whole thing kind of flipped on its head, and now Inter are really motivated. They're really fired up, and they continue to drive that. And then Leo Spinazzola from far out basically sends a perfect ball into someone named Paulo Dybala, who I mean gets on the end of it and hits it as perfectly as one could hit, going right in between Handanovic's hands. But it was no one on earth was going to save that, obviously, because it was so well hit. Dybala obviously does his celebration as usual, but then turns around and points to the back of his jersey, basically saying, "Inter fans, you made a mistake," basically, which was cool, because the other thing is the whole dynamic. Inter signed Lukaku when they were leading the race for Dybala because they lost patience, and they ended up with Lukaku. Roma ends up with Dybala, and that's a whole nother thing, even though Lukaku didn't play. And then after that point, Inter fell apart. Their chances in front of goal, they created a lot of chances, but they were brutal in front of goal. They couldn't find a way to break Roma down. They created a lot, but their finishing was horrible. The whole thing kind of collapsed from that point. And I think mentally I don't know if they quit, but the everything that was going well for them all of a sudden just collapsed. And Roma, in the second half, after getting the equalizer, came up fired up. They were motivated. They kept going for it. And obviously, it goes late into the game, and then they get a free kick. Lorenzo Pellegrini finds Chris Smalling for the second, and Roma are able to hold Inter off in the end, even though Inter did push at the end, but it never really happened. And honestly, even after that point, there were two chances, and there's three chances in the last 10 minutes with Matty Camara almost scoring twice, and then Belotti and Abraham. So four chances at the end where Roma could have scored another two, three goals. And it just, from my perspective, once Dybala scored that goal, the morale of Inter and all the energy that they were thriving on at the beginning just fell apart. And Roma with Mourinho watching from the team bus showed that mentality and character and goes and beats Inzaghi's Inter. And obviously they corrected it in the Champions League yesterday, but overall Inter are in big trouble, while Roma, if they're at their best, have shown now that they can battle with the best squads in the league and potentially put themselves in a title conversation, while Inter Milan are holding on by a thread of potentially still being in it. Cause I think it just added to the nightmare that is currently going on at the San Siro.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. They did do very well in the first, opening minutes of that match. They obviously got that goal, which was crucial, because we've discussed this in years previous. For Inter, those first 15 to 20 minutes are crucial. If they do not take a lead during that time, it becomes I take it back. The past few seasons when Conte was there, they did fairly well coming back from losing situations or the like, but in general, even during some of those, it was if they didn't take a lead in the first 15 to 20 minutes, the odds would become increasingly more difficult to get the victory. But now it's starting to show that signs more frequently again, and that is terrifying to see us reverting back to old habits in certain areas. But obviously, Inter get that first goal. Things are looking great. Inter have the intensity and the pace. But then Dybala scores that goal. And then it's the wheels on the bus came falling off. And it did. Oh, yeah. I'm tired, okay? This is what happens. But anyway, it was like that morale and the, intensity they had just fizzled out when they could have literally, if they didn't let that garbage get to them, they could have gotten back right into it and got that pressure back on Roma, but they didn't. They let that situation get under their skin, and then they paid for it. They had a hard time finishing in front of goal. They had a hard time keeping the ball away from Roma. The whole entire dynamic changed after that. And then, of course, obviously, Roma get those two extra goals throughout the remainder of the match. And just obviously, yes, Inter did a great job getting points yesterday against Barcelona, which we'll go into more detail in our later in a week. But right now, nobody should be scared coming into the San Siro, whether it's facing Inter or Milan. It's right now, we're both not looking that great. I would give the edge. Well, no, I'm giving the huge advantage to AC Milan, who have been doing way better than Inter at the moment, despite their performances being lackluster in there. But overall, they're doing way better than Inter at the moment. There's just a lot of things going on with the club right now. Obviously, for those who don't know, Suning is, they're currently working on getting investors into the club to eventually hopefully sell, for Suning to sell off the club. So just with everything and also behind the scenes is also trickled on to the pitch in certain games, and it's just one thing after the other. And then, of course, you have Inzaghi, who is a decent manager, don't get me wrong, but right now, just with what he has and how he prioritized certain players in the transfer window is kind of alarming. And depending on how things go within the league over the next maybe 2-3 weeks, or even I don't know how long they'd give him, but his job could definitely 100% be on the line. And it's just something that Inter will have to see if we end up with another manager sometime this season. But hopefully things turn around. But if not, there's got to be some changes made, and soon.
Yeah, because we talked about this all the time, this unfortunately this season, because you look at the squad, they got the players. That's not the problem, because you can easily say, okay, this team isn't performing well. We need to sign this player, and then we'll be ready. They got a ready-made team already, and I know Lukaku hasn't played, and they're dealing with injury issues a little bit here and there. I think Brozovic was a big miss, because it seemed, outside of Onsali in the second half, they seem unorganized in the midfield. And I'm not saying Roma was on the attack all the time, but they could get through the holding midfield, which is supposed to keep everything together. Because, and again, I rate Borrell. I think Borrell is fantastic. But when you're playing with this lineup, Barella has to hang back and keep everything into – basically keep things so it does, you don't have a hurricane in your midfield. And the thing with Barella is he was pressing high, so he was playing in more of an attacking role, and we know that he's very skilled in that area, but he ignored his defensive responsibilities, and because of that, Roma were able to cut through. Because if you look at Roma's first goal – there was gaps in the midfield when that pass comes along. Now, that's a really well-hit ball from where Spinazzola was to Dybala. But the reason they got that space is because there was space occupied in the midfield, and Barella was pushing forward. And again, usually that's okay. But I think it was a lack of responsibility on that end, just because of how everything kind of played out. And, you know, Brozovic, I think, was a big miss, because I think – again, I think I would still back Roma to win that game, but I think things would have been more controlled in the midfield, because you look at the way this game went, you know, Inter had most of the ball. They had more of the chances. There's a lot of positive aspects you can say from that performance. But when they got it in dangerous positions, they were unable to capitalize. And obviously there are also a few situations with certain people getting yellow cards when the game began when the game started to become tense, because you don't want to see it when you're down. You need that extra energy. And when Roma got that second goal, it was the Romans that were more motivated than the Inters, you know? So I think that was a big part of it. And the point about obviously this the San Siro, and it's not that feared for teams to go there. From AC Milan's point of view, it might just because of their injuries, because their performances, even though they haven't been at the top elite level necessarily, it's still a place where they are having somewhat success. Other than the Napoli game, I think they lost. That was in Milan. But overall, I think their issues are down to their injuries, where I think Inter's issues are down to other things that are in their control. And I know that they got that big win against Barcelona there yesterday, but overall, because the league and the Champions are two different avenues, you know, because the league is just different. And now it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on, like you said, behind the scenes, but also on the pitch. And they have to be able to adapt to this. And Borrell has been one of their best players. But lack of responsibility and leaving those spaces open in the midfield is completely unacceptable. And the substitutions, I didn't get a bunch of them for starters. And, you know, you talk about wanting more young players to be more involved. And I respect the 17-year-old kid who made his debut on the left side. But in that point of the game, you don't make that. That's not the change you make. There were other players in that position already there. And even if you don't have them, you put a midfielder in there, and then you can put one of your players in the middle out wide, and so on. And I just think there's a lot of issues going on with Inter, and it seems to be getting worse, not better, because we're not seeing a lot of improvements. And I also think the misusing Correa is a big problem, because Correa is a perfect false nine and a second striker. And if you play him and give him solid game time to do some magical things, we can see the result of that. Because I know the goal yesterday was disallowed, but the way he got into that position and then calmly put away the goal in the one-on-one, that's the type of explosion that he can provide. And but he's not given the minutes to do so. And I think that's another issue that's kind of putting Inter in this very difficult dynamic. And I still think Inter have a chance to win the league and to make the Champions League, but it's hanging on by a thread because we're not even 10 games into the season, but there's a bit of a distance right now. And I mean, Torino and Fiorentina are nearby. I think that's just not good enough if you're an Inter team that has high ambitions.
Yeah, and on top of that, that terrifies me knowing that Torino, we're in the same area as Torino and freaking Fiorentina. It is a sad state of affairs when we're sitting down near them and they're like only 1 or 2 points behind. That, seeing that they could possibly overtake us in the table is creepy. And I am livid. Like, I'm just going to say it. You're right. Football has literally become life for me. And it's like, if I'm having a bad day in Inter lose, it's just a bad day all around. But if they win, it could literally make my bad day feel a little bit better. And I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, it's just like, right now, with how things have been going with my job, it's terrible. And then you could have, if Inter had played today, it would have been made it better. But if it was a Friday match or something, even though
that's why yesterday's result probably is a big deal because of how important a victory like that is. You're second in your, and we'll talk about this later, but you're second in your Champions League group. You know, you're behind Bayern, but Barcelona and Inter are two very top sides, and Barcelona are top of the league in La Liga right now, and you beat them at home. And again, Xavi can cry to the referees all he wants. I'll rant on that later. But the other scary thing is, you've lost 50% of your games. If you take all games together, all the big games, and if you want to count Udinese as a big game, then you're 1-5. Otherwise, you're 0-4 or something like that. So that's the other scary part is your signature, your incredible wins this season have come against Lecce, which you almost didn't win, Spezia, mm-hmm. Empoli, and I'm missing like Sampdoria or something. I forgot there's one that I'm missing. But all your wins have come up against teams in the bottom half of the table. And I know Lukaku's not back, and maybe that has something to do with it, but there's enough talent here to be in that situation and to be pushing. And again, we know that Fiorentina and Torino are not going to finish ahead of you. But even if they're temporarily ahead of you, that's a bad look for Inter. And considering the teams that are already ahead of you, that shouldn't be ahead of you. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a very complicated situation. And again, Juventus started badly last year. They still made the Champions League. But when you have the squad that you have assembled, you can't be in this situation where you're chasing fucking Fiorentina and Torino. And I think Fiorentina and Torino are good sides, but they're not Champions League sides. So you really shouldn't be in that area. And then, you know, things are going to get more complicated. Luckily for you, the schedule, Inter schedule is rather soft the next couple weeks, where you're going to see some bigger teams go against each other that could benefit that. But yeah, like you said, it's scary considering where you are. And again, it comes back to Inzaghi a bit because I think it's mishandled. Carrera can be such a crucial weapon, and we're not seeing him used, which is weird because Carrera came from Lazio. Inzaghi came from Lazio. Inzaghi wanted to bring his boy back, but he brought him back and is not using him the right way. And again, Dzeko is a very good piece off the bench. I think he's one of the most underrated strikers of this generation. But there's no reason that when Lukaku's down, that Carrera should not be the second striker. Because, yes, Lautaro and Carrera are similar, but at the same time, you have to look at the other aspects of it and how they complement each other because their skill set are similar but have differences. So that's another one I just can't figure out. And my last point I'll make on this is Handanovic cannot be the starting goalkeeper anymore. I'm sorry.
No, he can't. I mean, we've seen with my turn to finally, I'm going to do an interrupt.
Do it. Go.
I mean, I've seen Onana perform recently, and he is doing a killer job. Yeah, he'll let the occasional. He's making saves like Batman in certain situations that Handanovic, with his older age, would definitely let slide. And I mean, like I said, I've seen him perform, and he needs to be starting one at least majority of the matches. Obviously, let Handanovic start occasionally, but
Coppa Italia.
When it comes, yeah, like Coppa Italia or something. But we need a keeper who's young, agile, and quick on his reflexes, where he can save those crucial things. And also, another player I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more often is one of the players that we really bring on as a sub is Aslani. I mean, how is he going to prove himself as a starter if he's not getting the minutes to do so? So it's time to rotate between the players and let some other people in who may prove to be a difference maker. I mean, Inzaghi, take what you learned against Barcelona and use it. Or are you going to be a stubborn old mule and go with the same old garbage this weekend? If I see that garbage, I riot. And literally, I'm to the point right now, until Inter improve, I ain't buying no Inter merch until that happens.
Yeah, no. And the thing is with Ansaldi is you can put him in. And he's not defensive by nature, but he has the athletic attributes to be able to hang back as the run of play is going forward. Again, Barella was pushing forward when he's supposed to be the one holding the midfield together. We know how good he is, but there are moments where he's like, "What are you doing, dude? Brozovic isn't back there." So if you had put, Ansaldi obviously needs more minutes. Carrera needs more minutes, and I know he's not the biggest fan of the inter groups, but Gagliardini could have started that game, and because he is a defensive midfielder. That way Barella can push up. And yeah, so I agree. I think he needs to play more. I think Carrera needs to play more. I think, you're pretty solid everywhere. Well, you're solid everywhere. It's just making it work. And it's complicated because Lautaro lives in a horrible sort of world right now, because he needs to be in God mode for you guys to win games now. And if it goes well, if Inter win games, Lautaro is the guy. He's like, "Oh, Lautaro played great." But when you guys lose, he has to take all the blame, which is, it is the thing. It's part of being the best player on a team. But I think it's a horrible world to live in at this moment, especially when the team is playing poorly. And he's played really well in the games you've lost, but he's getting the bulk of the blame. So that's another aspect of the whole thing and how everything is kind of folding up. And look, Inter, it's not just that they lost. Roma was like, "Bring it on. You think I'm scared of you?" That's when I watched the game, that's what it came across like. Even when we were losing, it's like, "We're not scared. Come on, let's go." And he's like, you want the ball? Okay, you can have the ball. We're still going to beat you." And then obviously, yeah, but Handanovic is a big one. I don't think Onana saves either of those goals, because those are hard situations. And I think the second goal was a mistake on the marking in the box. But Onana against Bayern Munich lost 2-0. He's the reason it wasn't 5-0. If you look what they did against Pilsen. So, and then Barcelona, he's a big reason Inter kind of gathered themselves in that game and played as well as they did. You can play Samir Handanovic in Coppa Italia. You can play him against Pilsen. You can play him against Sampdoria. You can play him against the bottom teams. But for the most part, Onana should be starting. So there's a Carreras of problems here. But and I think there's enough time to turn this around. But, yeah, there's obviously it's – Inzaghi's not helping himself but with his decisions. But I think a mentality problem still exists there. And that's a big thing, because there were points in that game. Like after Smalling scored – and you may think different, but I think Inter just quit. They just accepted they were losing the game. And there were 15 minutes to go, and they did nothing for those 15 minutes. Well, Roma almost scored three more times. So it's alarming and at home. The last time Inter has lost to Roma at the San Siro, Mohamed Salah was playing for Roma.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the goalkeeper for Roma. Perotti was playing for Roma. What's his name? Bruno Paredes was playing for Roma. Fazi was starting in central defense. The midfield was Strootman and Nangol. So that's how long it's been. And guess the coach was Luciano Spalletti, not for Inter, for Roma. Spalletti went to Inter for 2 years, took a break, and is now his second season in Napoli. And the last time Inter has lost to Roma at the San Siro was when Spalletti was in his second season or his second return to Roma. So that puts in perspective how long it's been, and they need to start to make this. They have to fix their problems, but also they also have to try to make it at least a little bit intimidating going there to play you guys. And yeah, it's tough right now.
Yeah, it's like right now, it's like, give me my alcohol and let me pee.
I want to ask you one more question, and then we'll obviously Inzaghi. We have to indulge a conversation of what the move is if Inzaghi doesn't work out either this season or starting next summer. But given the situation, I guess it's kind of a two-parter. I don't see them as a Champions League team right now. Do you have faith you're still going to make the Champions League? And number two, Do you think there's still a possibility of a title challenge? Obviously, I don't think it's a big one. Or do you think it's done already?
In regards to finishing in the Champions League, do I have hope that they'll finish in there? These are the questions that I would ask maybe in a couple more weeks. But for now, I'm going to say no to either question because. Unless there are those dramatic changes made and you're actually seeing improvements, it's just, as they say, sometimes certain things need to get worse before they get better. And if it does get worse, you're not going to see them finish in the Champions League, get the Europa League at that point. And then you're also looking at, the title. Since you need to be the first place and you would end up getting a Champions League from there. Right now, it's too early for me to make that judgment call, but based on what's going on right now, I would say no.
Yeah, personally, I think the title is probably done. I think Champions League is, I don't know, it's hard. But it seems like it's done because you have to think of it in your brain what needs to happen for them to still win the title. You know, a lot. So Champions League, I still think they're going to make it because Udinese, an amazing story. I don't think it's sustainable. Lazio, we know it's not sustainable because history has told us it's not sustainable. So those are two potential spots to open, and who takes them? Roma probably takes one, and then we have to see who takes the other. And I don't know. I think Atalanta are going to. It's too early, but I think Atalanta are staying there. So it leaves one of the. It leaves one of those other teams, and I think it's hard at the moment.
By the way, what do you think of my name change to Cookie Monster?
I like it. I mean, the ball thing was nice until he hit one out of the fucking the air like fucking Superman.
So now, like you said, we have to. Like you said, indulge the conversation. So, what are some options Inter could go for?
Okay, I have 10 options, and I'm going to go through one. I'm going to let you ask me questions, and then at the end, you just give me, based on this conversation, who your top three choices would be. Some of these are, if Inter were to sack him today, these are some managers you could get. There are others that are. They're actually. I think there's only two. Two would be summer moves. So I just want to explore this like whole thing because we don't know if he's going to get sacked and when he'll get sacked. So if things go the way it does, will Inter get rid of him this season before the season's over? I don't know. And then there's the other question of okay, if maybe they sack him at the end of the season. So it's really depending on context. But I'm just going to go through them, and I'm gonna give you reasons why and why not. This one, okay. So Joachim Löw was the coach of Germany. He recently stepped down this year when last year when Hansi Flick came in. He hasn't coached domestic football for 10 plus years, but he still is considered a highly productive manager with Germany. 124 wins, 40 draws, and 34 losses. 62% win percentage. He plays a 3-4-2-1 formation. Any question or anything you'd like to know off the bat, et cetera?
No.
All right. He won the 2014 World Cup, and he made the Euros during when Spain were winning he made the Euro final when Spain was winning everything. All right. This is the one we've talked about before. Pochettino, 159 wins, 62 draws, 73 losses. Those are his Tottenham statistics, and I thought those are the most valid ones. And I didn't put how much he percentage of won his game, but he won a good portion of his games. He was obviously at PSG with Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe, and didn't win the league title. So, so on and so forth. Any questions?
Nope.
All right. Thomas Tuchel. As far as system, it's the same system, 3-5-2. He recently turned down the Leverkusen job. 60-24-16, 60% wins. Champions League winner, FA Cup finalist, German, high profile, et cetera, et cetera. Next one would be who was sacked today, Julian Lopetegui. You'll remember him because he was holding the Europa League trophy against Inter 2 years ago. He is the Sevilla manager. He won the league. No, he didn't win the league. He won the Europa League, and he's also made the champion. He's been basically consistently in the top three or four for the last couple of years in La Liga. So he's very well managed. He managed Spain. He also was with Real Madrid. He plays a 3-4-2-1 formation. His numbers are 90 wins, 44 draws, 35 losses. He has won 53%. Next one is Bruno Lage. He just got sacked by Wolves. He plays a 5-4-1 formation. I don't know if he would change that if this were a possibility, but you have to take that into account, especially when you have two strikers. His record with Wolves are 19-10-22, but you have to take into account that he's managing Wolves, not City, not Brighton, not Manchester or Liverpool. So he's not playing. He doesn't have the top squads. He won 37% of his games. Before that, he was with Benfica, won the league title, won 67% of his games. Marcelo Bielsa plays a weird formation, 3-3-1-3. Won the championship with Leeds, but has been consistently productive and is a very good coach. 81, 13, 59, 47%. Dominique Tesco recently got sacked by Leipzig. 20 wins, 9 draws, 11 losses, 50% of his games. He plays with a 3-4-1-2. He has won the German Cup last year against Freiburg, unfortunately. And then Almako Alashi. As you know, I just sent you a picture of my FIFA career, and I hired him as a Wolfsburg manager. I rate him very highly. He's at Real Sociedad right now. 81 wins, 49 draws, 48 losses, 45% win percentage. Copa del Rey winner last year, plays the 4-2-3-1 formation. Now, this would be one where if Inter were to sack him mid-season, I think he would jump ship if an opportunity came. But he is currently unemployed at Real Sociedad, but they just sold their best player. Their top striker to Newcastle recently. So I think this would be a lateral move he would make if there would be a sacking done and he was interested midway through the season. So those are the managers that are available now, pretty much. Any questions or anything you want me to clarify among those?
Nope. Okay. First, I'm going to go with...
Hold on. I'm not done. Now that these are summer signed. These final two are employed, will not leave their jobs this season, but could leave their job next season. Ryan's favorite manager in the world, Unai Emery, Europa League champion, Champions League semifinal last year. A 4-2-3-1 formation. His record is 61-38, 34-28. He's won 49% of his games. All right, now the most accomplished and the most.
I feel like I know who you're going to pick.
I know who I'm going to pick too. Obviously, I'm talking about Cholo, Diego Simeone, 346 wins, 136 draws, and 106 loss. 58% win percentage, two La Liga titles, Copa del Rey, two Europa League, two Super Cup, and he's been to two Champions League finals. The only reason he's on this list is Atletico Madrid look like shit. And he's done so well this season, and I think by the end of the season, it is possible that they mutually decide to part ways. So, and if you see it in Champions League form, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, so... So what would be your top choices and give me a reason why?
Let's see. If it was I'll go based on what the number one is going to be, like, figure he's getting sacked in the summer or something. So first I would go with the Sevilla manager right now. Like, say if he were to get sacked today,
he was sacked today.
Okay.
I thought you meant him. I mean, Zach. You mean Zach. My bad. Continue.
It's okay. I forgive you. But I would go with the Sevilla manager. Obviously, he's worked against Inter in the past. He's very versatile. Knows how to adjust the team according to their opponents. Obviously, that's how they got it. How they beat us during the Europa League final. He made those changes that were needed here and there, and they lifted that trophy that season. But then you also, he knows how to work with the players to get them physically fit, but also while maintaining their keeping their body in a safe space, I would say, where he works on to keep them up to fitness, but he's not risking them getting injured. Versus some managers who will work you to the bone, and then you risk injuries early on in the season, which is detrimental going forward. Number two, obviously, it's Tuchel time. I mean, he's a very well-decorated manager. In Germany, while he was in the Bundesliga, obviously there has been some setbacks with him in England, where I think if he were to make the switch to Serie A, it would just fit him perfectly, because obviously he does play our favorite 3-5-2 formation, but he would know how to get the best out of his players and know exactly where to place them.
Style similar to.
And the style is similar, exactly. So that kind of would help the situation. But like I said, he would know what players to, he would find that winning formula and stick with it. And then unless, say, an injury were to occur, then obviously he would make adjustments accordingly. But then for the dream signing, everybody and their uncle for Inter, and even Diego Simeone himself has said he would love a chance to coach Inter. Obviously, well decorated at Atletico Madrid and other clubs that he's managed over his illustrious career.
It's really been Atletico Madrid. He was in a Argentina league team for a couple of years, and that was it. So it's basically, but he's been there forever though. He's been there. I don't really remember Atletico Madrid without him on the bench with his slicked back hair.
Yeah, so I mean, That, I mean, he even said he would love to manage Inter at some point. All of us Inter fans would love to see him
and achieve that.
Yeah, and he would love, like I said, it was is every Inter fan's dream to see him get his dream of managing our club. Obviously, he's versatile. Obviously, he plays a more defensive style football, but he can be attacking minded when the situation occurs. But I mean, that's if we're looking at Inzaghi getting the sack in the summer. But for sure, Tuchel and the Sevilla manager, if hypothetically Inzaghi were to get the can today.
Okay. I just want to play hypothetical here. Lukaku does well to end the season. Inter say, okay, Chelsea will buy him permanently. The deal gets done, et cetera. Would you not be a little concerned about the Tuchel-Lukaku relationship because it didn't exactly work very well when they were in England?
Well, hypothetically, if that does happen, I would hope that they would both be the bigger men and they would work something out. Like I said, the style of play is also different in England, so it didn't suit either of them. But if they're in the same league, such as Serie A, I think there would be a little bit more. What's the term I'm looking for?
I don't know, but the thing is, just real quick, Tuchel played a system that did not help Lukaku's strengths. Lukaku also burned some bridges on his own that we know. But I don't know. I think he's a good manager. I think he could be perfect. But I'm just basically saying that it is a minor risk because of that sort of situation. But then again, Mourinho did not work well with Mkhitaryan and Smalling when he was at Man United, and it's worked well with Roma. But the difference is there were several years in between where this would be potentially 6 months or a year after they'd last worked together. So it's just something to be aware of. No, good choices. Just for kicks, my top three choices would be Unai Emery, Diego Simeone, and actually this is hard. Fuck. I'll go Lupategui from Sevilla. So those would be my three. Again, and the only reason I would not put Tuchel there is because I don't want to take if the objective is to get Inter back on track, to get them motivated, to get all this stuff. I preferably would not want to take a risk that may not pan out. So if Lukaku's there, I'm not going to bring Tuchel, not because he's not great, but because they don't have time to play games. They're supposed to, they should be going for their third straight league title, and they're not. And obviously, it's better for the league that they're not, but that's what they should be. So I think that you have to be very careful in these sort of situations. I also think some of these guys would be interesting for a caretaker manager if potentially Inzaghi goes before the season, but I don't think he will. I think he'll end up going at the end of the season if he goes. Inter's board does have a patience that I don't, but so for that reason, I think I think you get it. All right, two more things, and we are way early here, but I think it's an interesting conversation for both of these topics. We're way early, but interesting conversation to have at this point because right now, obviously we're 9 games into the season or whatever, and anything can happen. But at this point in the season, if gun to your head, who do you think? Who would you put your money on to, or not? You don't have to put your money on, but who would you bet on to win this season? And I know it's through 9 games, but I think it's just an interesting thing to explore.
if they do not screw it up, but they probably will, but based on what I've seen from them so far, even in the Champions League, I would say Napoli.
And any particular reason? Or
I mean, right now, like, I've seen them do very well in the Champions League thus far. They're doing really well in the league as well. Obviously, history tells us that we shouldn't trust Napoli because they will bottle job. But if they're able to keep this winning mentality throughout the whole rest of the season, and they also do well within the Champions League too, I think they could be finally shut us up and possibly take the title, which I would be shocked. But based on what I've seen from them right now and just how good they're doing, and if they're able to keep that momentum, I would say Napoli at this point.
All right. If Napoli wins the league, you're never going to hear from me. I'm going to kind of dig myself in a hole and stay there for a couple weeks, and then I'll come back.
You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
Okay, just wait. Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, you do have confirmation that he will actually go away for a couple weeks. So just if that actually does happen, hang on. I'll make a note.
I'll just ask media for a while. That's better. I don't need the toxic, delusional Napoli fan on Twitter getting to celebrate and enjoy his day. I don't want Napoli fans to enjoy themselves. Okay, that sounds really bad. I don't want them to have football enjoyment. I don't want them to have the satisfaction of winning the league. That's all I'm saying. Napoli fans, you're free to enjoy your lives and your days and your weeks. So that came out wrong, but I just don't want them to have the satisfaction of winning the league this season or next season or ever. But you get what I'm saying. Look, I understand. I've criticized this team. I understand that I have issues with what is happening. I understand they're injured, but it occurred to me this week, and that's why I thought of this topic. We're way early, but we should just have the conversation because why not? I'm actually going to back AC Milan to retain the title, and this is why. Nap obviously, yeah, the game of the weekend, and I know they got crushed by Chelsea, but the European form and league form is not necessarily mutually exclusive, and AC Milan are still second in the group, but AC Milan go to Empoli, and they're injured. They're fucking ruined by injuries right now. AC Milan go to Empoli. They get a first goal. AC Milan scored. And then in stoppage time, Empoli scored. And I'm like, oh shit. And then AC Milan not scored once, but they scored twice. And it feels like I have the issue with the striker, but Giroud won it for them. One of the reasons they won the league last year with the goals he has. He has, I think, 5 or 6 this season already. He's doing enough. And again, for them to go to the next level, they need a 15 to 25 goal striker. But I still think with what they have, Rafael Leao did not play well the first 2 weeks, and then he got his jetpack on and just started rolling people. He's been phenomenal ever since maybe match day 2 or 3. He's been cooking. He cooked Inter in the Derby. They've won a lot of their big games. The only game they haven't really done well with is obviously the game against Napoli recently. They have good stuff in the midfield. Bennacer, Tonali, Charles Delacour, and then they have guys like Arani and that's not his name. I just can't remember how to say it. And Aster Van Rox is there. I think they're going to start to rotate the midfield more, and they'll be more well conditioned. But the reason I back AC Milan to get the job done again is because of mentality and character, and those are two things. And again, what the table looks like right now is not that important to me. They're still within points of the top three, top whatever. And I think when they get their injury backs and they start getting that confidence back, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat, because I don't see a world where Napoli win it, because history tells me that Napoli will throw it away at some point. Just the same reason I know history tells me that Spurs aren't going to win the Premier League. The same reason I know athletic, you know, there's certain teams that aren't going to do it because it's in their DNA not to. And it's like that thing. Once you can prove that you can do it without falling apart, Napoli, for example, I can't back you to win it until that happens. Now, if that happens, then that changes the perception completely, and so on. AC Milan didn't used to have the mentality character they have it now. They won the league. It's a totally different ball game now, and I do back AC Milan to win the league. I wouldn't mind it either. I don't really have a preference as long as it's not Napoli. I think Atalanta would be great. I think anything else would be great other than Lazio and Napoli. Even if Inter won the league, I think it's a far-fetched thought at this point, but their team is good enough, so they technically would deserve it if they were to do that, but I back AC Milan at this moment. All right. We'll just do this quick. Who's your player of the season so far, and why?
Ooh, that's a good question.
If you need some choices, I can give them to you. Otherwise, just do what you think.
One name is sticking in my head: Paulo Dybala.
Okay. Any others?
Lautaro Martinez, but right now, obvious. But even when he, because like you could tell when he's injured, the mentality is like not there, and because I think he's the one who brings that like it killer instinct to the team, and without him, the team is actually suffered. So Martinez is like one. I'm trying to think if I had to pick
Well, hold on. What I mean is not most valuable, the best player you've seen this season. If that simplifies it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because of course Martinez is going to be one of them. We're just going on value, and that's a big one. If you go on value, there are some players who probably wouldn't broach this conversation. That would be a big part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say Paulo Dybala. I mean, he's really stepped it up with you guys at Roma. He's proved to be, in my opinion, one of the difference makers. He brings like, I don't even remember how many years he was with Juventus. I think it was like seven.
I think eight.
Yeah, seven or eight. Yeah, and he has those winning tangibles. And now that he's with Jose Mourinho, who also was known to be a winner. And he's on a team that wants to win. He like leeches that onto the team, and that's why Roma, in my opinion, has been successful so far. But yeah, and when he gets the hold of the ball, obviously, sir. After when Cristiano Ronaldo was there, he kind of took a back burner. But when Cristiano wasn't there, he's kind of getting back into that like shape where he's able to get control of the ball and orchestrate the game with precise precision. That's a tongue twister. But I mean, overall, he's just been great so far this season, and I can't wait to see what he continues to do with your team.
Yeah, definitely one of the top candidates for me. I think he's an incredible playmaker, and you can see the difference between And the players have changed out, but you can see the difference that he makes into a Roma team that has ambitions after winning the trophy last year to continue to win. However, my player of the season, unfortunately, so far, the best player I've seen so far, let's not say player of the season, because it's make it sound like we're giving out awards. But the best player for me resides in Naples, unfortunately. And it is the wonderful Georgian Mastiro, Kvara with Napoli, the kid they got from Georgia, from Rubin Kazan. Obviously I said before the season that he was going to be one to watch. He's been phenomenal. I mean, there's nothing this kid can't fucking do. He has the entire package. He can hit from distance. He can position himself on set pieces. When he has the ball, it's like it's glued to his feet. He's got this magnificent touch that makes it so difficult. You saw what he did to Trent Alexander-Arnold in the Liverpool game, where he basically just he died right there and there. Then obviously yesterday he hit a beautiful free kick. Trent did. Some critics, but Kavar has just been a next level. There's not really too much he can't do, and he's been. The numbers speak for themselves, but beyond that, he's a total difference maker. And I don't think Napoli's having this season without him, and he's just the baddest motherfucker on the planet at the moment.
Oh my gosh, my dad just literally popped into my head with, yeah, there's literally nothing he can't do. I'm thinking give birth.
He probably could.
I mean, literally, that's always the classic dad response. And it's like, Dad, why? And I just started laughing.
I had a thought, but I don't want to get canceled.
Literally, my family's mental.
Yeah, no, but anyway, he's just playing like at a ridiculous type of level. And I think... I think it's a dangerous game for Napoli to play, and we haven't talked about this yet. I think it's a matter of time before Madrid or Munich picks up the phone, and that's a scary thing. As Napoli fans, I think they should be slightly concerned. Not because he's great, that's a good thing, but because his price will jack up to huge numbers this summer. And Madrid and Munich, best believe they will be monitoring the situation. And at some point, they're going to pick up a phone. And, you know, good. I think he's been embraced with the Napoli culture. And I think he's going to spend a couple years here. But I think it's only a matter of time before tick, tick, boom. And he's not in Napoli anymore. But, as much as I don't like Napoli, I want him to stay in the league as much as possible. But I'd be somewhat fearful of him potentially jumping ship and going to a bigger club, because it's inevitable, because he's that good, and he's mad young, and he's just phenomenal. And obviously Dybala's been great. Rafael Leão is a close second for me, but it's been the man from Georgia.
All right. Player of the week and donkey of the week.
Donkey of the week would be Barella, actually, because he did play well in that game, but the way he pressed forward, leaving so many gaps in the midfield, was just it was just outrageous. And I think player of the week, Leão. I mean, for what he did, the way he brought that team back into the game against Empoli, helped them win it. Beautiful chip over the goalkeeper, just phenomenal. Level scene there, and I know he played like Kaka tonight, but over the weekend he was spectacular.
Obviously, donkey of the week, I will agree with Barella for the exact same reasons. Player of the week goes to, I would say Dybala again, because I mean, just how he was able to get Roma really and change the dynamic of that match really set the tone for how the rest of that match went. And so with that being said, I think that's pretty much it for this episode. So we'll see you all on the next one. Peace.